Well, it's lovely to be here with you in Hayward at Star King Unitarian Universalist Church. And I'm wondering, have some of you ever gone on a street retreat with the Faithful Fools? Oh, boy. Well, when you do, you will discover that we begin with a couple of rituals. We light a candle in the center of the circle, and then we toss around a ball of yarn. And that's kind of fun, because the ball misses its mark sometimes, and then somebody has to run off and chase it. And then there's always somebody who worries a lot that it's going to get caught in the candle flame. As far as I know, that's never happened, but that doesn't stop us from worrying about it. Now, some 6,000 people have tossed that ball of yarn, or one just like it, since the Faithful Fools began walking in the Tenderloin in 1998. And the flame isn't the only thing that people worry about. Some of us, maybe most of us, are afraid to go wandering alone in the Tenderloin. Maybe it's a neighborhood you've been told to stay away from, or if you must pass through it, you should walk quickly and purposefully. There are people everywhere on the streets of the Tenderloin, and some of them are sleeping on the sidewalks. Stripped of that purposeful stride we usually employ when walking through a neighborhood where so many seem to be in need, it's possible to feel very alone and disconnected. So before we go out, we toss that ball of yarn to weave a web of connection. And then we ask ourselves these questions. What holds us separate? What keeps us separated? As we walk the streets, what still connects us? On my first street retreat 13 years ago, I turned the first corner down the block from the Faithful Fool's purple building, and right there I saw a drug deal. Money changing hands, rocks dropped into a crack pipe. I saw the buyer's hands shake with need as he lit the pipe, and I heard my mother's voice in my head. My mother was a Southerner, so this is what her voice sounded like. Why would you put yourself in a position where you would see something like that? Well, my mother had been dead for many years, but I still hear her admonishing voice sometimes. But I understand now, and I think my mother, wherever she is, understands too, why I don't turn away from people on the streets who live with that kind of need or that kind of suffering. Strangers on the street don't talk to strangers, but a faithful fool might. When I don't turn away from the addict, my eyes open wider to everything, to see the children walking down the street connected to one another by their kindergarten rope, to see the moments of real joy and kinship in the community of people who stand in line for their meals every day, the people who literally help one another over bumps in the sidewalk. When I don't turn away from a stranger on the street, I find I'm more open also to my own shadow, to the parts of me I tend to hide from others, and also from myself. My life has been a steady opening, shining a light toward those shadowy corners, learning to know and be the person I was meant to be. The streets have helped connect me to myself. Turns out it's a virtuous circle. Being more connected to myself, to all of myself, I know myself to be more connected to all of humanity, Even the people on the streets, whose lives are so very different from my own. It becomes easier to understand, though everyone has a story and a song of what went wrong. And they're all individual stories, but we also live, each of us, in a context, a social context, that can hold us in its grip. We faithful fools were not the first people to discover a profound connectedness on the streets. If you've ever been to Louisville, Kentucky, you may know that at the corner of 4th and Walnut Streets, in the midst of the marketplace, with people walking by on their many busy paths, there's a plaque that commemorates a moment in 1958. I sort of love that, don't you? A plaque commemorating a moment, especially when it's the moment that's in the heart of a person. And it was in the heart of the Trappist monk, Thomas Merton. So here's how Merton describes his moment that plaque commemorates. In the center of the shopping district, I was suddenly overwhelmed with the realization that I loved all these people, that we could not be alien to one another, even though we were total strangers. It was like waking from a dream of separateness. It was such a relief and such a joy to me that I almost laughed out loud. If only everybody could realize this. But it can't be explained. There is no way of telling people that they are all walking around shining like the sun. Well, every time I toss the ball of yarn around at the opening of a street retreat, I feel ever more connected to each and every one of those 6,000 people who have walked with the Faithful Fools, most of whom, of course, I've never met. And also to all the people whose paths I cross in the Tenderloin. And not only that, increasingly I find myself believing that this matters. No, we will not solve the problem of homelessness in a day or a month or a year. We will not fix it with technology or internet applications or this or that social program. But who is to say that the connections we build, gossamer thin though they may seem, may not become the web that will sustain us in all the changes that lie ahead? We can't imagine a solution, so how can we possibly imagine what might be the effect of seeing and making real our connectedness? When we see the light, courage, strength, and creativity of every person we encounter, when more of us see that everyone is shining like the sun, when we choose to awaken from the illusion of separateness and step into a reality of connectedness, then what?
So, good morning. When I'm not being Felicity with the kids, I'm Melissa Farman, daughter of the Sunday school director of the Stockton Unitarian Church of Pacific Central District. And probably inspired by her, I went on to get certified as a director of religious education with our denomination, and I served a church in Rancho Palos Verdes in the Southwest District, and was an agent provocateur for the rekindling of the RE Committee for the Pacific Southwest District. And I have been a faithful fool ever since I met Reverend Kay Jorgensen, co-founder of The Fools, with Sister Carmen Barsotti, who's with us this morning. Yes, Charlie, that's Carmen. I first heard Kay Jorgensen speak at our West Coast summer retreat at Asilomar, and she was in her clown persona. Her clown persona is Oscard. And Oscard is a little old, farmer person perhaps?
Swedish.
She's Swedish. Oscard is Swedish. Kay is Swedish?
Swedish.
So, some of you probably know Oscard. Have you ever come to Oscard's feast, anyone? Oh my, you have missed something wonderful. It is an extravaganza of a dinner dance with free access to costumes and makeup and music and wonderful food. We used to celebrate it up until this year, I guess, on April Fool's Day, which is our birthday as an organization. This year, actually, instead of April Fool's Day, we're celebrating on Father's Day after church, June 21. And it's also the first day of summer. And in connection with the good things that I have seen Sam here working on with the Market Street for the Masses and representing the concerns of the Tenderloin as it becomes gentrified to those who might not ever notice what the effect of their corporations is. And also the addition of a brand new faithful fool named Casey Asbury, we will have Oscard's garden party. And this will be in a beautiful place that used to be a big parking lot hole in the ground that Casey has been turning into a community garden. And that is a feast that you are all invited to, too. Dinner dancing. Well, I accepted Mary's invitation to join you all this morning in this service because what I want to do is help you see how Reverend Kay Jorgensen's religious vision could draw me. I'm a corporation rat. I spent 20 years with Bayer Corporation in Berkeley. Drew me into the most meaningful and growth-producing part of my life. Mary has told you about the mantra of our street retreat practice. What holds me separate? What keeps me separated as I walk these streets still connects me. When Kay spoke to that auditorium in Asilomar nearly 20 years ago, I felt galvanized to take my Unitarian and Universalist values to the edge, as she was doing, to test my high-minded thoughts against the tough realities faced by those who are marginalized by our dominant U.S. culture. Now, that dream survived throughout the decade more of employment and child rearing, all the way to 2005. And once our youngest son was off to graduate school, I arranged to leave my 20-year career with Bayer Corporation, gave up 5 extra years of salary and didn't take Social Security until it was available to me, and I moved to the Tenderloin across the street from the Fool's Court because I wanted to know what it is to be a neighbor in the Tenderloin. What does it mean in my body and soul to live in the physical circumstances that these immigrants, these poor students, these folks whose lives have broken are experiencing? I will say that what precipitated that sudden departure from middle-class intellectual life was the seven-day street retreat that the fools carry themselves into the Tenderloin deeply with. And it isn't just those fools who've decided to live in the Tenderloin. This is an invitation that opens to everyone who has done at least a one-day street retreat. And in this process, we divest ourselves of money. And actually, I think Carmen tells us, don't bring anything that you can't carry. I carried a sleeping bag, I know. Contrary to the assumptions that people carry about the Tenderloin that Mary just mentioned, I came to feel safe that week in a paradoxical and profound way. The old-time religion tells us that we can find that sense when we are reborn in Jesus. Now, I couldn't tell you about that. I was raised in the Stockton Church Unitarian. I do not believe that Jesus is God. Jesus is Rabbi, though. Jesus is my teacher. In this case, I followed his teachings and I found his capital W way. It was that profound sense of safety, that trust and openness, which allowed me to move and work in the Tenderloin for 6 years. We need to remember that Jesus did not launch his opposition to empire and to heartless legalisms alone. He moved in community, and he built community around himself. And I find that in the faithful fools, I have community. Community in which the circle of love is growing daily and develops ever more linkages, sometimes objectively with that string of yarn, and sometimes it's heartstrings that grow. These connections in the Tenderloin grow, whether you come directly to the Tenderloin or your lives are touched by adolescents in your congregation who come to the coming of age exercise that they do in the Tenderloin, and they come back and tell you about it. Connections regardless of wealth, gender, politics, family of origin, age, race, or creed. Our foolish mission statement was tucked into your order of service. It's on the back side of that bookmark that's got our activities. I would invite you to read aloud with me and see if I can remember it word for word. You got it? I tucked it into my book. This was generated out of brainstorming between Carmen Barsotti and Kay Jorgensen over the period of time that they came to know each other on the streets. They formed this mission statement. We are called to a ministry of presence that acknowledges each human's incredible worth. Aware of our judgments, we seek to meet people where they are through the arts, education, advocacy, and accompaniment. We participate in shattering myths about those living in poverty, seeing the light, courage, intelligence, strength, and creativity of the people we encounter. We discover on the streets our common humanity, through which celebration, community, and healing occur. With the fools over the years, I have walked in accompaniment When you've made a heart connection to someone and they need the courage of a companion to meet the challenges, and there are so many to a person whose life has broken apart from family, from traditions, from societal expectations. When a person comes to the Fools and says, I have a court date, I'm scared, could you go with me? There's something in the heart connection that has developed as we work through improv theater or through movie night or through any of the more everyday activities that we do to give them the reassurance that they need, to give them the courage to keep moving toward the condition the court has set for them to be released on probation. I've met many whose lives have turned around because of the Faithful Fools Street Ministry. And because it's there in a building, and because there are people who live in the Fool's Court, I know for a fact that when Gina and John were fighting one night in their single-room occupancy hotel with no place to go, Gina stormed out. She came over to the purple front door of the Fools and banged on it until somebody came down and let her in, and she said, I'm scared. I'm scared John's gonna kill me someday. I can't stand this anymore. And she was welcomed in because it's the home of the Fools, and there's someone there who cares. With the Fools, I have walked in accompaniment, and I have experienced deep friendship and trust with four people recovering from crime and recovering from incarceration. We don't think about what it does to a person to be locked up for 20 years and then let out on the street in the middle of the night with a suit and a $20 bill. We people found our common humanity. Do people go to the Fools to get saved? I did. Marcy did. Bruce did. Stephen did. Yeah. The Faithful Fools Ministry is there representing universalist love. It's not an idea. It's not something that we try to convince people of with sermons before they get to eat their sandwich. And not, as I say, as an idea, but in hugs, blankets, jobs, socks, trips to the dentist. Things not out of the ordinary, not accomplished with any need to correct somebody, not through an assumption that we can save people from sin, but miraculously healing, nonetheless, for my life and for theirs. Yes. On the Tenderloin streets, I do see the life-scourging wrongness that you heard in the paired reading of Julia Winograd's poem. I also see, however, the miracle of Gina. She came to us recovering from street drugs and from incarceration. In the 3 years that she walked with the Fools, I saw her reach out to the adult son that she abandoned as a teenager. The Fools took the camping trip up to Oregon together with Gina and John to meet this young man and his family. I watched her use exercise, volunteering, improv, theater work, methadone, Bible study, meditation, and foolish fellowship to gain her strength, health, and autonomy. But you know what? Even though we helped her get to the methadone and hung in with her, it was her will to life that allowed her to diminish even that chemical support down to zero. This is amazing. And At age 47, she became pregnant for the second time in her life. She moved with her husband, John, also a resident of the Tenderloin, to the middle of Minnesota someplace. Carmen just came back from there, but I don't know exactly. I did see that it's out in the middle of a cornfield. And she now has a healthy preschool son. I witnessed what I thought would have been impossible. A miracle of the power of love, community, and faithful foolishness. I think because faithful fools are willing to give their life to their values, to walk the talk about the astonishing worth of each human being, and to be that change that Gandhi says we need to see in the world by being it, people can flourish in love. Oops. Is it okay to say the word miracle in this place? May it be so in our lives. Amen.